there to my crowns. This is Rebecca, aka Crown Riri, reminding you to subscribe your email to crownones.com, follow crownones_com on Instagram, and also like, share, and most importantly, subscribe. All support is welcome and a big help. I am a one-woman show. And last but not least, stop at crownonesmerch.com to purchase She is Crown Tea or He is a Culture Tea. You can check out all the links below for the Instagram page, the website, and also to purchase your shirt. Again, thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for pressing play. And of course, I hope you enjoyed this wonderful crown conversation. Hi, my name is Rebecca, aka Crown Riri, and this is the Crown Talk Podcast. Hello out there to all of my crown ones. I am so excited. I have Cleaver Cruz here. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Thank you for stopping by for the show. Appreciate it. But can you tell my crown ones out there who you are and what you do?
Sure. I am Cleaver Cruz. I'm from New York City, uptown specifically, the Bronx.
Yay.
And the Washington Heights area. And currently, or as I exist, I like to say I'm a writer and an educator and someone who likes to travel with intention.
I love that. And I got to you as far as just watching you on the Black Joy Project, which I am thankful for that you put that out there. So let's get into that. So what inspired you to start the Black Joy movement itself?
I wouldn't say I started a movement. If anything, I would say I inherited work that our people have been doing since the beginning, that Black Joy has existed as long as Black people have, and that I heard a calling to continue that work, and that the way it started was very unintentional. It wasn't a big plan. I just woke up really feeling depressed and heavy and all the things that might be the opposite of joy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
I was feeling that morning, and yeah, just had to lay there and figure out what is the source of this. And then honestly, it was like a spiritual thing, like a divine thing, where I just had like this rush of words and images and sounds and memories. It was just like, I don't know how to, it never happened to me before like that.
Right.
Excuse me. And so the words, literally like the words Black and joy floated together in front of me. And then I had this thought of, remembering this picture of my mom that I had taken a couple of weeks before at this gallery show that she wanted to go to. So I put that picture on Facebook because it was back when Facebook was a thing.
Right.
Not that it's not a thing, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. And
so I put it on Facebook, just stream of consciousness. Again, like there was no plan or anything. I just wrote, let us bombard the internet with joy, that joy is a form of resistance, that it's not that we should be ignoring all of the sharing of videos and all that, but that we also have to give space to joy, and that if people want to join me, let's go. It's taken from there, just kept evolving, really.
And that was 6 years ago, right?
Almost. It'll be 6 years this fall.
Wonderful. Yeah, I had my Black Joy moment last year when I was watching the BET Awards. You know, like that's our like award show, but like all the commercials were about, you know, our Black lives being shot at and being a target. And I was like, I felt sad about it in the show. I was just like, oh, okay. Well, that's kind of depressing. Yeah. And I think the same thing happened to me. I was like in a depressive state, and I was just like, how can I find joy during this moment? And I read your article and I put out on my website about celebrating Black joy. Like, we have to find that balance.
I agree. And that, again, like we were saying at the beginning, this is not new. I've interviewed, meaning like at least asking them, what does Black joy mean to you? Hundreds of people in the last almost 6 years.
Yeah.
And not one person was this new. Nobody ever said, I never heard of this, and what is joy? No, everyone said, it was more of like, oh yeah, or I hadn't put language to it like that. Like I never thought to call it Black joy, but yes, like that's what I've been experiencing, that what you're saying, I find it important that we each have to come to that place of like it's okay. And it's good to seek it, and that it's actually part of our existence. It's not a separate thing. It's not happening over there. Because when you really think about it, we've had joy and created it in so many circumstances.
Yeah, and I think, you know, now with social media, it's like everything is like, what do I do with this timeline? Because it's like, you know, this is going, like you said, it's not a separate thing. We still have to say we enjoy being Black, and that's why we're saying our lives matter.
That's right.
So, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I came across, I was like, it's okay. At the time I was writing it, I was like, I don't know if this is like the appropriate thing to do right now. Cause you know, the whole lives mattering of our Black skin, and they're just like, well, this is how I feel about it. And
Exactly.
So when did you decide to invest in the Black Joy Project online and also outside of, well, on Instagram and also outside of that?
Honestly, I don't know if I ever had a choice. Like I was saying, I answered a call that one morning. Well, later I realized it was a call. But yeah, it started really simple on Facebook, just with like my friends.
Yeah.
Facebook. And then like, I would say 2 or 3 weeks in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happened was that in December, I had committed to do it for 30 days. And so like halfway-ish through, I started getting messages that were very affirming of like, you should keep doing this.
Mm.
And so I called one of my best friends, Sarita, and she was like, what are you doing talking to me? Go do something about it. So that's when I, at the time, I just decided like, okay, well, if Facebook is private in that sense, then maybe if I put it on Instagram, more people can get access to it.
Right.
And so I decided to go to Instagram. So I migrated like, I don't remember at what point I did it, but I migrated all the pictures from Facebook onto Instagram. And then, yeah, and then from there, it just became like wherever I went, when I met another Black person, I typically mm-hmm. would engage them around that conversation.
Yeah, I love that. You have motivated me to start having that conversation about Black joy, especially during Black History Month, because, you know, Netflix and Amazon are putting out these movies and some of them can be like really depressing. And it's like, we enjoy comedy.
Yeah.
It's like add more joy onto that. But yeah, I think having that conversation to me and even with you, it's like an eye opener for some people. Cause it's like, oh yeah, we don't have that balance. Let's put that balance back in our lives.
Exactly. To say that it's okay. Cause you know, if I feel like when we take a step back, we can see it like, hello, people were born. So mm-hmm. we were having children. A lot of it I want to claim was love that resulted in those children.
Yeah.
We found love. Black people have loved each other through all these different times.
Yeah.
People have, you know, like achieved their dreams, pursued a goal, whatever. There's all these things that if we think about it fit inside of that lens. It's just that a lot of the times we're forced into survival that doesn't even give us the space to think about it that way. You know,
yeah.
that's important too, right? That joy is part of our survival.
It's yeah.
not for the sake of joy. That's literally one of the reasons we can even get through all this is by experiencing it.
That's very true. I didn't think of it that way. You're giving me crown moments. But yeah, that's true, like you said, because it is a part of survival because we have to find ourselves because I think sometimes we get so exhausted explaining to people why Black Lives Matter or why we are protesting. And it's like, we have to find that balance of saying, I just enjoy being Black and this is true.
Like even now I'm thinking about my grandma who grew up in the Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. not with a whole bunch of money and stuff in the mid like 50s. And you know, she talks about, but when I hear her talk about her childhood and stuff, it's not that it was all roses, but there's mm-hmm. moments like they played jacks. She remembers playing jacks. She remembers playing games and she remembers like poems and stuff she learned in school that all that type of stuff also matters, you know,
yeah.
that not all that we were suffering in poverty in a developing country, but there was also moments where she had fun with her cousins and things like that. Like, that's important to acknowledge as well, because otherwise it's too much. It's literally too much.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Yeah. Because I'm learning myself how to like to protect my peace and not having to explain, like you don't have to explain yourself to people because there's so much out there that if they want to learn it, they'll learn it. So it's like, I don't mind saying I am representing Black joy. And if you want to talk about that, that's fine. So,
exactly. And that, again, when it comes to revolution and change making and all that stuff, there's many, 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 many roles. And that one of the areas is Black joy. Like there's going to be people that's their work. That's their commitment. The mm-hmm. same way that we need people who can cook to make food for the people. We need the people who can march. We need there's a role for everything. And that, at least for me, I know that this is one of the lanes that I'm supposed to be in. It's supposed to be talking about Black joy. And that, again, it's not about saying, oh, well, this is the alternative, or let's not talk about the horrible stuff. It's saying yes.
Right.
It's actually saying, like, you know what, because of how messed up all of this is what we've done. And yeah, that even in the protests and stuff, hello, these people are voguing. These people dress down, like they're going to the club. You know what I'm saying?
Love, like, it.
There's all of this is also happening. There was an entire group, Joy to the Polls, that these Black folks that were making music and all that, all over the country to promote voting and stuff, that all of that stuff matters. And it's not, it's not fair to us as a people to diminish it or oversimplify it. Because as many as of us that there exist, that's one of the goals that we need.
That's true. And when you said that, I thought about when I kind of orange face. So when we took him out of office, I remember the celebration. People were doing like the electric slide in the middle of the street, and it was like our people. And I was like, yes.
Exactly. And that, again, Black people exist literally everywhere. With the Black Joy Project, it's also about the world of Black people, and that we exist in any landmass. I was joking with my editor. Mm-hmm. Maybe we can assume not in Antarctica, but pretty much all the other continents, Black people live there.
Yeah. And
we also have to, Black joy can be a way to make those connections too, of like, if we can learn, I mean, it's happening now more so with technology, like TikTok and stuff, the ways that we can learn, like, you know, there might be a challenge from like a West African song, or there's what's that called? A baile funky song coming out of Brazil that people are learning the music or whatever, but all of that could be entry points. Like, so then how do people really live in West Africa?
Right.
What is the Black experience in Brazil? In the face of what are they creating this music or art or whatever, that I think we can go even deeper. That's not just about us feeling good, but how do we actually learn and connect with each other? Because history shows us that when you do that, that's when people's boots start shaking.
Yeah.
When you start making the connections, like, oh wow, there's Black people over there, and I'm cool with them. Like, we have something in common that we could be built on. That's when it really becomes more powerful of us seeing that it's not, because part of the design of all of this, like Toni Morrison says, is a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And all that's to distract us from reality. That
we
actually can be connecting, because I see it when people travel, especially Black Americans. Mm-hmm. There's like a certain, I don't know the words, but it's like, you being in another Black community, it's not that it's all love, but there's something there that you can just exist as you are. And people are acknowledging, like, bro, sis, fam, whatever.
Yeah.
That's powerful. And we can use that consciously.
Yeah, I think, and I watched Judah and the Black Messiah. And my thing that I focused on a lot was, like, when we are united, it's like a scary thing for the people who don't understand the greatness that we have when we are united. So yeah, I think that's very important to always push out there that we can unite, and it's okay because we're greater.
And now you see what happens, right? Like, violence and stuff kicks up, because then it's like, oh wait, they're getting hit to what's going on here. You know what I'm saying? Imagine what that can look like, and that it's ugly, like revolution, all that, none of that is pretty, but what I'm saying is that the joy can be the glue, or even one of the ways to get through it, right?
Yeah. Like,
literally, again, at these protests, these marches, people are singing, they're dancing, they're voguing, they're drumming, they're doing all of these hula hooping, all these things. That, all of that matters, even though on the news, all you see is the signs.
Right.
There's angry Black people marching on the street, which is okay. But I'm just saying that it's a yes and, that Black joy is a yes and. It's about acknowledging all of it, because also I've seen sometimes with joy, especially in this moment, it's like the escape, like they're trying to frame it as like, oh, this is the thing that Black people can use to run away from the thing or whatever.
And
I'm adamant about, it's not running away, it's running into it, and saying, like, this is one of our defenses, this is one of our ways to work through it.
When I wouldn't say I discovered Black joy, but when I had that moment, like you said, that affirmation of just saying, okay, what do I want to do? Because I always try to unite people, especially our people. Like I said, I think we're so much stronger when we are united. And that was my thing. I was like I said, everything was going on, and I just felt like that depressing moment. And I was like, but I enjoy being Black. And that was my thing. It was like, hey, we enjoy being Black, and that's why we are trying to protect our lives.
Right. And that's important, right? Like, we actually enjoy being Black. I said, you know how people always be like, if I had to choose every time, I'll choose Black.
That's And also just thinking about, like, even now when people, you know, opposite color of us are like looking and saying, oh, okay, well, why would you want to be Black? And it's like, because, you know, they look at like everything that everything we go through, and they just be like, so you enjoy being Black? And it's like, yes, I do.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I actually enjoy, you know, changing my hair and dancing to music and, you know, learning about different recipes. And it's like our culture that we enjoy. So, yeah, I think that balance is so I'm learning that it's so important.
It really is. And it's hard work, right? That like it's very difficult when most of us are being put into survival mode to even have that space to acknowledge. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like it's that's what's trickier about it, too, is it's almost like, you know how I guess in the last 5 years, this whole thing around self-care and how it's become this whole buzz thing.
Yeah.
Not very classist. That is like, everybody can't afford to go to the spa or get a massage and all
right.
that. Actually, can't be the only way to have self-care. Mm. That I see it too, of having to be careful around Black joy and not, and acknowledging that sometimes the way it's described is classist. That's around like people who have the time to do certain things or the privilege to do certain things that, it's not all, Black joy doesn't have to be all these big grandiose things. It could be like, my mom is in remission from cancer. Like
yeah.
That brings me joy, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, I talk about self-care, but like you said, I try not to make it where it's like, oh, you have to get your nails done today. It's more of just being in creating your space. Like you said, that Black joy space of saying, I'm gonna listen, well, I'll say Beyonce. I listened to Beyonce today and now I'm good.
No, literally, no, for real. I say that too about music and stuff. I was even talking about with my grandma of like these places in the world where we exist that for all intents and purposes, you're living in poverty, so to speak. And they, I mean, those are some of the places that have the best examples of joy.
Yeah.
The places where people have quote unquote nothing materially of like,
yeah,
that's the places where people are coming together to make big meals because that's going to be enough food for everybody. That's the place where, oh, we only got $10, let's buy this thing and then we're going to have a party to that type of area so that it's not so tied to material things, but the collective. That for me, Black joy is a thing with anybody, right? Like that's not specific to race, but Black joy feels like a we. Like there's something communal inside of that, that like it's very important to that we can feel accountability for each other because Blackness to me is circular.
Yeah.
Circular shape that we're people that understand we're tied to each other in a certain way.
Very true. Yeah, because I, certain topics, like if you like pop it up and be like this, you know, about hair or music, I'm like all in, like I can talk for hours. And it gives me that joy, or even just like talking about like the Black culture, like you said, okay, we only got $10 to put food together, but with cooking and being in the kitchen and having conversations and, you know, turning up the music and dancing, it's like that one moment of Black joy can keep us, you know, sane for like a week. And
it's true. This past weekend was my birthday.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
And honestly, it was one of the best ones because all we did, legit, all we did was like my mom made some food at home. Mm-hmm. And then she ordered this. There's a Dominican, like a old school bakery called Niting in the Bronx. She bought one of those cakes. And then we played bingo for like 2 hours.
Aww.
And that was one of the best things, you know? It wasn't like a fancy restaurant or a party, blah, blah. But that was so good for us just to be together and be laughing and sharing some food that tastes good. Like,
yeah.
To me, that felt like such a good example of it because literally in this moment, so much is going on.
Yeah.
But the fact that we were able to even have a couple hours together.
Right.
In the middle of a pandemic and stuff and still have that felt really precious to me.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I have another podcast with a co-host and he's the guy, but like, I love making him laugh. Like that's my Black joy because I dedicated my platform for men and women of all people just to unite. And so my thing with that is like, even with men is just to have Black joy. I know sometimes it's hard for them to discover that Black joy sometimes.
Yeah, and that makes me think of something else around the Black Joy Project, because really that's how it started, was around healing. Of like, joy can also be a tool or a means to heal ourselves and each other. Of like, if we can, what I've learned is when you feel healed in a certain space in yourself, it gives you room to figure out where else can you do that. It gives you room to figure out like, all right, where else do I need to heal? Where else can I help somebody else heal in that way?
Yeah.
And if we're really thinking the long game, which we should, about after the revolution, in that place, I want people to be healed. Like, I feel like that's where we can experience more joy, because healed people heal people. People say that all the time, and it's true.
Yeah, it is.
how do we, that maybe in those jokes and stuff with your podcast host, over time, that might have been one of the things that helped him feel better overall.
Yeah.
You know, that like, that's the type of thing. Maybe if we listen to that Whitney song 10 times this week, that's enough to feel a little bit better. So you have enough energy to keep going to whatever the next thing is, that we can, it can be that too. And that, again, a lot of the times we're not calling it Black joy, but that's what's happening. That's really
Yeah, I think it's good to, like you said, put a name on it so that, that we know that we are experiencing it when it happens. Like you said, it's been around forever, but because of the spotlight of the media, like you said, it's like, oh, this person's protesting over here, and which is fine with the sign, but it's like, if you look to your right just a tad bit, there's like people over here dancing and celebrating, you know, and getting together. So
that might be bringing that sign holder a smile.
Yeah.
Like strength to literally keep going of like, you know what, this is my role at this march, and what they're doing is feeding me, you know, of like, it's interconnected. You know?
Yeah, I think that's very important to say. Cause I, like you said, in me and my experience, it's like, I'm not trying to take away focus from the revolution. Black joy is included in that.
Absolutely.
If you really think about it.
Yeah. It really is, because we also have to practice what we want on the other side. And I want joy on the other side. You know, I want us to be able to really live our lives fully, that, and joy is tied to love, that I want us to experience love in a deep to live in a world that actually loves us. I think it's been a long time since Black folks have been in a world that actually loves us back, you know, and that again, with history, we didn't start with slavery. Like Black people existed before slavery, you know, and that in that part of history, there was joy and conflict and all that too, you know, like this really has been a part of our experience. And it's a way, even if we were to talk about slavery, inside of that, again, people felt love.
Yeah.
In part of the world, jumping the broom, like that's a practice that came out of joy and love, you know, like those types of things, that even like learning herbal remedies and working the land.
Yeah.
Love and joy. Some people really like, that's their thing. I can garden and create herbal remedies and stuff for my family, for my people. That brings groups of people joy, you know?
That's and very true. Yeah, that's what pushed me to do the crown talk and crown ones, is because I know that before we were enslaved, we were kings and queens, and we had what we needed. Like you said, we had that joy to create and to establish. And it wasn't until we were, you know, captured that it was like, oh, we want all that you have and bring it over here. But like you said,
and that all of us weren't royalty, right? Some people were the workers or the servants or the farmers or whatever. And that, but even still, to your point, is there was a way of existing that already had joy and a certain level of respect and things in it.
Yeah.
You can't keep reducing to like a group of white folks or a system, I should say, that is telling us otherwise, you know? Like again, the distraction, like Toni Morrison says.
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah, that's why I always fuss about the Netflix recommendation. I'm like, it's always sad and depressing. Like we get it. And sometimes I think like the message, even like with the BET Awards, which it was so depressing for me, but like each commercial was like, this is a Black child, and you know, this Black child might get shot. And I was like, these messages are by us, but they're not for us.
Yeah.
And I hope that white people are looking.
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Because is it really for us? If we already knew that.
Right. That's my thing.
It's true.
Yeah, that's like my whole thing now. It's like I can go on my social media and explain to people why we were so upset with the whole Capitol thing. But most of the people that follow me are my color. So it's like, why would I take that energy and try to explain that to people that already know?
When we really were over here looking like,
y'all get y'all people?
This is the country we've been in.
Right, like, okay, this isn't, and this is what happens when they unite and y'all are scared when we unite.
It's true.
Yeah, it's like when I was watching Judas and Black Messiah, I was like, I thought about the Capitol and I was like, this is what happens when white people unite and get together and y'all are scared of us because we're giving out free lunches. So it's literally, like,
no, it's true. And that, look at that, that still exists and it benefits everyone.
Yeah.
It's not like it's only in Black communities we have free breakfast and stuff. That's literally a public school standard now.
Right. And then for that to be like a fear for, you know, white people just be like, oh, they can't get together like that. And it's like, look at the outcome.
But it goes back to what we're saying about making the connections, that it's actually fear based. It's the absurdity of it all. That means that signals their consciousness, right? Like they know the level of fucked up it is.
Yeah.
And that once it's like, oh shit, they're figuring it out. Now we're in trouble. Cause that means we can hold on to whatever it is that we're trying to hold on to. That's the, I think, one of the powers of joy too, of like kicking up that dirt and saying like, and look, we're still going to figure out a way to enjoy our lives in the face of that. And actually, like, the other thing too with Black joy for me has been around imagination. That it's a way, that's like one of the most important things that we have access to, is being able to imagine and create what doesn't exist. That people, our ancestors, had to imagine us. They didn't know exactly what it was going to look like, but they had to keep imagining, like, there's going to be a world that they don't have to do this.
Right.
They don't have to be forced into labor and all this type of stuff. And that we're that. We're the result of that imagination. And how do we imagine even bigger than that? Like, so sure, we're not legally enslaved, but of course, like, a lot of us are in jail. A lot of us are trapped in these systems and stuff. So how do we keep imagining even bigger than that and practicing into it? That joy can be like, one of the things that we did with the Black Joy Project a couple of years, towards the beginning, there's a really amazing, one of the first supporters, her name is Vivian Anderson, and she started an organization called Every Black Girl that's based in Columbia, South Carolina. And Viv would do these like back to school type things where it was like a, she collaborated with a few organizations in the city, but they went to like a public housing area and were able to give like book bag, you know, resources and stuff. But there was also like kids in the neighborhood, they rented a stage and the kids on the neighbor from the neighborhood are performing and like doing that. They're taking portraits for the Black Joy Project of like, there's a way to, literally there's resources being given to people who may not have it to start school for their kids, and they're getting to have a good time.
Moment would stick with them, with the kids, as a moment of Black joy. And once, you know, they're like, oh yeah, I remember that. And this person was giving to me.
We got to dance. And that, like, it didn't have to be what you're saying. Like, you're people without money and we need to give you things that you need. It's like, you know, things are a little tough right now. Here we are to support you, but it's not, it doesn't have to be, I feel like part of it is that we get, they make us get trapped in this narrative around like, our thing is suffering. The only thing that we know is how to suffer. And like, we're supposed to just be the punching bag of the world. And not be enjoying it at all. Not enjoy the pain, but I mean, like, we're supposed to be the punching bag and not have any joy at all. Which is ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine. I was like, you know, Tamika Mallory, I'm sure like she has like her laughing moments. Like, she's not always like, you know, on 10 all the time. Like, she has her moments where it's like, I'm gonna watch a comedy today and it's gonna be okay. Like, you know, some people think like when you are a protester and you're out there, it's like you have to be serious all the time. And that's not the case.
No. And that, and when the Black Joy Project started, that's what I was a part of, was organizing in New York City around like vigils for women and trans folks, all kinds of like those types of gatherings are very heavy.
Yeah.
That's very intense to like, and the reality, right? Like, if it's a Black woman or a Black trans woman, that a lot of people are not gonna pull up.
Yeah.
And also with that of like, well, damn, who's showing up for these folks? And we're showing up because another person has been killed. Like,
you're all
of that is very heavy. And that, again, that it's not counter, it's what do we then do in the face of that? And we know that we produce that joy. And that, again, with the Black Joy Project, it's also about amplifying the Black folks within Black communities that don't get seen as much.
You know, like,
how often are we asking Black trans women, Black trans folks, Black non-binary folks, Black women, Black queer folks, what is our joy? And then really being with it.
Yeah. You know?
And that, how often do we get to say it for ourselves? Because the other thing for me as a writer is letting people speak for themselves, that when you scroll down, it's not me saying this is what so-and-so said. It's so-and-so said this is what Black joy means to them, you know?
I love that. Yeah, I was going to say, you're right, because like that's what my platform is. Like, I allow people to speak to me and tell their stories and have like a conversation with them, because I think it's really important for us to create platforms for other people. And I was looking, I think like Facebook had gave like money to create a platform, but most of the money that they were giving to were like already people that were like famous. So I was like, I don't.
Typical.
That's capitalism. I was like, they already got money.
No, but it's really true of like, you know, for me personally, as someone who sees themselves as Black and queer and Dominican and all these other things, that I'm also like, where can I be holding up mirrors for other people who have this experience or ones that are similar? And, you know, I'm a deep stand for Black women and femmes. Like, I'm clear. Part of my freedom is tied to that freedom, and that any way I can support and elevate that, I'm going to. And that this isn't a platform to do that as well. I mean, literally the first picture was my mom.
It wasn't
that Yeah, like how can we also use Black joy to draw attention to those spaces too? Because we know that when Black women, Black queer folks, Black non-binary folks are doing what they're doing, that's probably the solution.
Yeah.
Going on over there.
Yeah.
They're the ones taking on the most for everybody.
Right. And their intentions are so clear that it's not really about like social media or people looking. That's just something that they're doing because that's what moved them to do it. So yeah.
Absolutely. Right. And that, I think that's okay too, of like, even though I'm literally writing a book about this, that I'm not attached to language, that I'm not attached. I think it's more important for us to be experiencing it and creating it. And the other thing too is all of us don't speak English. So everybody literally is not going to be calling it Black joy. It has a different meaning, connotation in different languages, the term joy, or even to put Black with it, that in some languages, it's still hard to articulate or claim Blackness in a certain way in language, that it becomes even more radical to put Black and joy together. And not that it's not radical in English, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that, yeah, like we shouldn't get too tied up. The same way with like this moment we're in right now, it's called the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. It was called the Civil Rights Movement. It was called the Black Power Movement. It was called, Abolishing Slavery. That was like it always changes names and things, but the goal is the same, that we need to get out of it. We need to release ourselves from this. So that, who knows, like maybe in the future, it's not gonna be called Black joy, but we call something else. But the point is that we have a sense of what it is, like you're saying, so that we have access to it. Because one thing for it to just be happening, but I see the difference when people could be like, oh, actually, let me just dig in my bag real quick to pull this out, you know?
Yeah, I love that. So what can I do, number one? And then what can my listeners do? Because I believe that Black joy is more than like a hashtag. So what can we do to just promote that more, especially on my end? Because I love having these conversations. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would say one of them is what you're saying, the conversations. I've done these workshops a few times, writing workshops for Black women. And one of the things that we do is first just write it out. Like literally, and if you only have one sentence, what does Black joy mean to you? And then I have them share it with somebody in their community or in their village. So that I love what you said about the music thing, because that's something I say a lot of, like, let's say your thing is like, you know what? When I'm feeling kind of some kind of way, I need to hear it, Home by Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
And the next time I'm like, oh, wow, Rebecca, it seems like you need something. Have you listened to the song yet? Or maybe just play it. Like, we're over here so we can listen to the song, you know? And that might not be the solution, but it could be the beginning of it, of figuring out, like, what is it that Rebecca needs or other people need to move forward in this thing? So one is definitely talk to each other about what Black joy means to you, because I don't think we talk about that enough. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like that's okay to talk about. Like, who are we really experiencing joy in the middle of all this? But you are. It's who are you not?
Right. Yeah. I had that conversation with my mom when I was like going through it. I was like, I want to like talk about Black joy. And she was like, okay, what's the problem? And I was like, I don't know when it's time. And she was like, it's the pandemic, child. It's time for anything. And went from there. True. But yeah.
No, it's true. And that, you know, and that to also remember, part of the goal here in these changes, systemic and individual, is healing, like to really try to give your space to work through your stuff, because one, we're already inheriting trauma literally just off the history of all this, and then whatever we experience or whatever we inherit from our families, because we know that all that trauma also trickles down to a bunch of nonsense individually, personally, collectively, that we have to work through all that. We do. And that joy can be one of the, or maybe it's the bomb, right? Like, if you just had an intense experience or whatever, maybe joy is the thing that comes after and not before, of like, you know what, I just need to cook that meal, or my homie's gonna cook it for me, or my partner's gonna cook it for me, or I just need a hug.
Yeah.
You know, that's the stuff of like, where is love in the conversation too around joy? I feel like those two things are linked, as well as loving ourselves and each other.
Right.
Being easy, like forgiving ourselves too. Like, there's a lot of, in that sense of like needing permission to experience joy, I know part of it is shame. Like, we're taught all this shame around our experience and that type of thing, and that we don't have to be ashamed of being Black. We don't have to be ashamed of being queer. We don't have to be ashamed of being women. We don't have to be ashamed of being trans or whatever.
Yeah.
And that there's a joy in that love, that self-love too, that's important. So talk about it, love on yourself. I tell that to a lot of people, like, is even if you got to lie to yourself, look in the mirror and be like, that is me.
Yes.
I love me. I did that for a while and I fell off. Honestly, like even before the pandemic, into this mm-hmm. kind of depressive state where I couldn't even really look in the mirror and stuff. Mm. Now I'm coming back to that place of like,
yeah,
that's me. You know,
of
like,
love it.
You got to do that. Even if you're faking mm-hmm. at the beginning of like, I'm uncomfortable. I don't want to look at myself in the mirror. That I promise eventually mm-hmm. is like this thing of like, love. Even yesterday, I wasn't even looking in the mirror. And I was like, I feel good.
Yes.
Me, you know, and that's for you. That's okay. Like, we got to start with ourselves first. And then we can love, especially because of the populations I'm talking about. If we go back to Black women, Black queer folks, we're the ones who are taught to take on everyone's stuff.
Yes, we are.
Without really having space for ourselves. You
yeah.
know? And that it's okay to take, joy can be a way to take up some space for yourself, and that's necessary. That's not, you're not taken away from anything by doing that.
Right, yeah. And I think, you know, just with the pandemic, when you're like, because I quarantined by myself at the time and even now, but it's like, I have to tell myself that I look good today because there's nobody in the house that's going to tell me that.
For real, it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I took on painting my nails because I was just, you know, like I need something else and I like colors and stuff. So that felt good. Like I feel cool about that nail color or whatever.
I saw that. It's nice.
That it's those types of things. And again, it doesn't have to be tied to buying things or.
Yeah.
It's to bring up, even if it was just you and one other person. Like I spent a lot of the pandemic with my partner, Ricky, that mm-hmm. we've done things like, we kind of slowed down, but at the beginning, mm-hmm. he would just randomly would pull me over and we'd have a 30-second dance party. Everybody Aww. Got 30 seconds to just dance real quick to a song.
Yeah.
Take a deep, another one is to breathe. Literally yes. in a pandemic that is tied to our lungs and our that level of our body.
Yeah.
Deep breaths, fill up your lungs. That's mm-hmm. another way to make sure that you're still here. And that in that breath, you come back to the present. Because a lot of this is to keep us in anxiety and depression. All this, like, I don't know what's going to happen. And we're Black in the middle of all this. So it's like all of that plus all of this that really makes it. And I'm an anxious person. Someone who
Me
also
too.
Has anxiety. I have to take breaths. You know, I was telling mm-hmm. someone yesterday, sometimes if I go to Target, it's too much.
Mm-hmm.
When I come back, I have to take a few minutes to really, like, calm myself down.
Yeah.
I've gotten so, like, oh my God, there's 20 people, blah, blah, blah. That it's okay to do that. It's actually really important to take deep breaths, literally for your physical health, but also just for your mental health to take a second to bring it down.
Yeah, I think I went to the store and I'm in Florida, but I wear my mask, but I went to the store and like, so I was getting so anxious, like hyperventilating, I don't know why, but like my watch was like, breathe, breathe. And I was like, like I can't.
No, it's true. A lot of us, and that now even more of us are probably experiencing anxiety and stuff from all what's been going on. That I'm not an expert at all. I'm mm-hmm. just saying that in my experience with anxiety, taking deep breaths really helps. It really helps.
Same
even
here.
If you take one or two, that it helps because all of it can be 1 to 1,000 that you're hyperventilating. Mm-hmm. You're like short of breath. You're sweating, and you're like, mm-hmm. what's going on? And it's really because you're just reacting to what's going on around you, and you're feeling. Well, why do I feel crazy when I'm wearing a mask and other people are nothing's happening?
That's all like, why is my body attacking me? Like, I just came here to get some eggs and some milk. Like, what is going on? And I'm like, because I was like trying like to like breathe with this mask on in the store. And I was like, honestly, I was just like, and I was just like, what is going on with me? Yeah, that feels so weird.
It's true. You know how many times I want to just rip it off and breathe and then remembering that's actually not an option?
Right.
I really get drink water. You know, mm-hmm. like most of us have access to some type of clean water.
Yeah.
Drink water and that type of thing. Again, it doesn't have to be all of these big things. Maybe write it down. Something that's practical for the listeners, for all of us, is to write it down. The thing that's giving you stress, mm-hmm. or literally the thing that's bringing you joy. That's also a way to activate it.
Moment
you're writing it down, you're activating it, and then you give yourself something to come back to. Of like, you know, how many times I've written down what brings me joy. And then to read it again, you know, read it when you need it. Write down a list of people you're grateful for. You mm-hmm. know, my friend Ashley Mui, she talks about that a lot of like, gratitude is always a good place to return to, especially if you're feeling anxious, overwhelmed, whatever.
Yeah.
I've written down like, I'm thankful I have shelter. I'm thankful mm-hmm. I can pay my bills this month. I'm thankful I have my mom. All these things that, you know, in the moment that you're up here, you can't be present to it, but that if you start writing it down, then that's a list you can always come back to as well.
Right. Yeah. That's what my counselor told me. Cause I think one morning I woke up and I talked to her and I was like, I feel like I'm not reaching my goal of waking up in the morning and do what I need to do before I get to work. And that was when I was able to like drive in. And then, but when I told her everything I did in the morning, like walk my dog and, you know, take a shower, fix my breakfast, she was like, you're doing a lot though. And I was like, oh, I am. I'm like, oh, okay. That makes sense. Cause I felt like I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
Exactly. It's like, sis, get to work on time.
It's true. And if you can help that, listen, Ricky will nail me right now for saying this, but if you can help it, instead of like your jerk reaction to reach for your phone in the morning, something nice to yourself.
Yes.
Literally, I'm learning that. I'm not a religious person or whatever, but you know, if you are, a lot of people have a prayer that they say for waking up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a prayer. It could just be like, literally like, thank you.
Yes.
I woke up today.
Yeah. I'm learning to do that. Cause I used to like grab my phone to be like, who said what now? Okay.
And most of us do, though. That's why I'm not doing anything. Even if you did do that, to still give yourself a moment after that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm alive. Or, whew, I made it through the night. A lot of us are not making it through the night right now.
Right.
You know, like, that's a joy.
Yeah, it
is. Breathing this morning. You get to listen. You get to live for another day, another morning. That is joy.
Honestly. Yes. Yeah, like you said, I think when we narrow it down to like something, it doesn't have to be a grand thing, just like something small of saying, that's my joy. Yeah, in my mind, I created, and I love Beyonce, but I create like the Beyonce applause. So like, if I'm doing something good, I'm like, I hear her clapping for me.
I love that. No, that's so good. I love that.
I'm gonna keep doing it. Yeah.
And that, you know, for those of us that can't read and write right now, for example, you can record it. Like, do an audio recording of what it is that you want to say to yourself or about what joy brings to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, like the other thing too is we're talking about all Black people. All Black people can't read and write. All Black people can't see, for example. All Black people can't listen, you know, have hearing ability. That we all have different abilities.
Right.
Saying like, you get to figure out which one works for you.
Yeah.
You know? If your thing is to take a stroll with, like you're saying, you walk your dog. Some people, that's great. Like that's their 10-minute meditation, is to walk their dog in the morning or at night back from work. Of to just meet yourself where you are. It doesn't have to be like, go to Marshall's and buy 10 new things so you can start the new diet and the new workout for next week.
Yeah.
This is what I have, you know? All I got is rice and whatever. We're going to make the best rice plate I can make.
And sometimes that'd be like the best thing ever.
I could eat rice like it's my job.
I love it. Yes. So before we go, can you give us a crown moment? And that's like what I call it, when your heart and your crown aligns, and like that's your moment of clarity, or like your testimony, or like your lesson that you learned. Can you share one of those with us?
Wow, this is so perfect. So I've had one recently, actually. So one of the, let me see which one. I'll say this one is, so the part of like the beginning of this year, I just felt this like, I need to make a different, I'm always joking like, oh, I'm gonna live till 95 and I'm gonna be doing the what's that called, the Iron Man, where you can swim all these miles. You know, I don't be swimming, I don't be biking, nothing, but I'm talking about I'm gonna be 95 and do all that. So this year I was like, you know what, if I really am gonna do that, then I need to start living into that now. And so what I started doing was just running. I started running for like 2 miles, 2.5 miles in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And I'm between Pittsburgh and New York. And so I started in Pittsburgh. And then when I got to New York, the first day, it was a little bit different because I had built a routine and all that in Pittsburgh. And so I got to New York and I had taken the keys off of the ring, because in Pittsburgh, I just had like a potted plant that I would put the keys under. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I put the keys in and I had like this little fanny pack thing, put the keys, my phone, whatever. I go for the run. About like halfway back, I remember something happened to my phone. So I opened the little pouch, whatever. I keep going. I get to the building and I'm looking for the keys and I can't find them. And I'm like, man, that they must have been back there.
Yeah.
So I walk another like mile-ish back to this corner that I'm certain this is where the keys are. I'm looking at the ground like I'm searching for gold. I don't see the keys. I walk back another mile bit. So at this point, I've walked like 4 miles or something.
Good grief.
So I'm back in the building, I get upstairs, and I'm really like, man, this is weird because I don't lose things. Mm-hmm. And so I'm taking my clothes out to take a shower and I hear jangling, and it was the keys.
Oh.
And the reason I say that is that realizing that that's something that I do. And that some people, other people I imagine do it too, is we set a goal, we run towards it, achieve it, and then we convince ourselves that there's still something back there. That my mind was so certain that this is where the keys are that I literally walked extra to go over there and not find anything. I found nothing because I already ran past it. I already ran that part of the goal.
Yeah.
That, and literally I had the keys the whole time.
Wow.
And that's the lesson I got from that, of like, we have to, when we set a goal and achieve it, trust that we achieved it and gain something from it. Yeah. And actually what I really did was I thought of myself in advance. I thought like, oh, you know what? It's probably not a good idea to put the keys in that pocket. So I'm going to put it in the other pocket because I know that one is secure. That we have to trust that you also know what's good for you too. And that when you don't remember that, to take a second to remember what, how did you take care of yourself? That a lot of us are just in this like go, go, go thing. That then that's literally depression, right? Like in the past, like you're so stuck on what already happened that you don't have control over, and running miles literally in this direction that's not helpful, it's not progressing you. The lesson is, remember you have the keys, remember that you actually, somewhere in you does know how to take care of you, and that you have to trust that, and that when you make the goal, when you achieve the goal, to keep going.
Yeah.
Don't go back and start questioning, like, I didn't do that right, or I should have, you know what I'm saying? You can do that, like, how can I do it better next time? That's fine. That's reflection. Right. But don't beat yourself up about you didn't do it right, or damn, why did you do it that way? And I told you you shouldn't have, you know, that, like, like, don't do that to yourself, is what I'm saying. That's destructive.
Thank you. That was for me. That happens to me a lot when I, because I'm learning how to communicate more with people in my podcast and just life general itself. Like you said, some of you go back and be like, oh, shit, did this right? And why didn't you do this? And I call it like a, because you have a relationship with yourself. And it's like you are mentally abusing yourself because you are telling yourself what you're not doing of this and that. And it's like, no, this is what I actually did. Like, I actually did this. So,
it's true, because literally you already have enough outside of you telling you that you ain't shit.
Yes.
So why would you add to that conversation?
Yes. Which I call social media, but
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, that was my testimony.
Thank you. I love when people share crown moments because it inspires me. So I appreciate it. Yeah. And this was my crown moment. Like I said, I read your article last year when I was looking. I literally put in Google Black Joy because I was like, I don't know what this is, but it was just like you said, just a feeling of just wanting more for us and just saying that we just enjoy being Black and having that out there. And so I've just been trying to do my part, especially for Black history. But like I said, we know most of our history. I think we do need to learn more about ourselves. Me personally, I'm learning that besides what like the history books are saying or what CNN is giving us. So I think that's very important, but it's that saying, hey, we enjoy being Black and telling each other that too. Like, you know, we have to unfortunately give our sons and our daughters that talk about the police and all that. And my sister gave my nephew that talk, and he's 13 now. And he was like, so like, what do I do? And I was just like, like I didn't have an answer for him.
No, it's true. It's true.
Yeah.
No, it's very true. And I would add the big we. There's a big we in Black Joy. That, and when I say that, I mean like, all of us as the people who live in this part of the world, the ones who don't, the ones who, you know, like all of us, that when we're saying Black Lives Matter, it's all Black lives, the sex workers, the people who are in jail, the people who, you know, have all kinds of abilities, just it's all of us, and that there's room for all of us too, and that as many ways as we exist, that's how many ways it can be Black, that's how many ways we can have Black joy, you know. That's just, it's important to do that, because a lot of the times these types of things get choked into a funnel of one thing, you know, especially if white folks are on it. They love a like, well, you see, they're happy. And it's like, happy is very different from joy.
Right. Like, oh yeah, they're having a good day today. And it's like, no, joy is something that is continual. Like we're supposed to hold it and keep it with us. And
absolutely. Yeah. It's one of our greatest powers. I think so. Because from that joy, we've created so much. I mean, literally Black culture. I mean, literally American culture. It's not just Black culture.
Yeah.
But almost all the cultures we've influenced, that's been one of the factors.
Yeah. And I realized that Black joy, that's like ours. Like white people can't have it.
And it's that fun. Like, it's something that was not given. So like, it can't be taken away.
Yeah, I think Solange has like the song where like every line is like the word nigga. And I was like, no white person could ever have this song. like, I love her for that, because I really believe she was like, this is our song. Like, you can't, no, this is ours.
Comfort to lunch.
Yes, I love her. So yes. So where can my crown ones, my listeners, the world, find you on the social media platforms?
On social media, you can find me at The Black Joy Project. And if you want to learn more about the project or me in particular, you can just go to my website, which is cleavercruz.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. Is there anything coming up for the Black Joy Project right now? Or
Let me think real quick. Right now, it just came out yesterday. If you go to The Root, there's a show called Unpack That, hosted by Felice Leon. And she just did an episode about Black Joy. So there's a little more in-depth conversation too around
Wonderful. I'll put that on my website. Thank you so much for stopping by. If you can hang around for one moment, but thank you so much. I appreciate it. You have definitely inspired me to push and have a conversation with Black Joy and to do more. Like I said, I think it's more than just a movement, because after, like you said, the revolution, we still have to fight for that joy. So
yes, we're
still. And remind ourselves too.
Yes. Thank you, Rebecca.
You're welcome. Thank you to all my crowns out there for pressing play. I definitely appreciate it. Thank you for tuning into the Crown Talk podcast. And as I say, don't forget you are crowned, and don't forget your crown. Thank you. Hello out there to my crown ones. This is Rebecca, aka Crown Riri, reminding you to subscribe your email to crownones.com, follow crownones_com on Instagram, and also like, share, and most importantly, subscribe. All support is welcome and a big help. I am a one-woman show. And last but not least, stop at crownonesmerch.com to purchase She is Crown Tea or He is a Culture Tea. You can check out all the links below for the Instagram page, the website, and also to purchase your shirt. Again, thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you for pressing play. And of course, I hope you enjoyed this wonderful crown conversation.